Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a Realtor can help answer. Because Realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what Realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I have a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Glimpses of awareness. In this podcast, Eckhart answers questions about our identification with the ego and our thoughts. He says the light of consciousness is relentlessly gobbled up by the mind and turned into thinking. He believes practicing presence is the only immunity against our thoughts. As we begin to awaken, we have what he calls glimpses of awareness. We lose them and then gain them back. Eckhart says we don't have to wait for those glimpses to arise spontaneously. He explains we need to invite them into our lives so that awakened consciousness becomes an integral part of who we are.
How do I keep my mind clear? I have glimpses of what I believe is awareness. Then I find myself having glimpses again, which means I lose it regularly. How do we stay more in the present moment?
Thank you. So what tends to happen is that the glimpses of awareness that arise spontaneously as a human goes through the awakening process tend to become longer. So it's not just a few things, and then suddenly you have longer periods of awareness or presence. And that's wonderful. The good news, of course, is that you have these glimpses of awareness, which means the awakening process is already happening. So be happy with that and be grateful when a glimpse of awareness arises spontaneously in your life, in certain situations, doesn't matter where or how. But also know that you don't have to just wait for these glimpses to arise spontaneously. It's important to realize that you can actually invite awareness or presence into your life. So you don't always have to wait for it to happen spontaneously. For example, you could be very busy with something and you notice that you become irritated or your mind is very cluttered. And you realize that and you say, okay, I choose to be present right now. Doesn't have to be long. I choose presence right now. And how do you choose presence? You have to somehow extract, so to speak, or to retrieve your consciousness from the stream of thinking. Because your consciousness, when your mind is very cluttered, which is the normal state for most humans, when your mind is very cluttered, thought activity is absorbing all your consciousness. Your consciousness is continuously transformed into thoughts, into form. There's no spaciousness left. Spaciousness is formless consciousness, unconditioned consciousness. So the light of consciousness is gobbled up by your mind, which is then continuously transforming consciousness into thinking. And so the mind absorbs all consciousness. And for many humans, that's their life, basically. They are identified with this mind, that the consciousness that has become thought. So when you say, okay, my mind is cluttered, I'm becoming anxious, or whatever it may be, I choose presence. Still, the question arises, how do you retrieve the consciousness from being completely absorbed by the thought activity? You have to get your consciousness out of the stream of thinking, pull it out of the stream of thinking, which is not easy at first. If you just say, I want to be present now, then you will find you can't, because the mind just carries on. But I want to be present. Yeah, but I can't be present. And then the mind will probably tell you there's no point in even trying, which of course is another thought, which is not necessarily true. But the mind will tell you, oh, I can't possibly be present now. What presence? I've got other problems than presence. When I've solved my problems, then I'll be present. That's what the mind tends to say. And so the question is, how do I get the consciousness out of the mind so that it's not completely absorbed continuously by mind activity? And that's the simple choice. You need some anchor, so to speak, to direct consciousness towards that sustains consciousness that's not in the mind. And the good anchor for that is, for example, the inner body, to feel the inner body. So instead of thinking then, in order to feel the inner body, you need to take attention away from thought activity. You cannot feel the inner body and still be thinking about your problems. You have to take attention away and put attention into the body. So your attention goes into your hands, for example. It's a good place to start, usually. And you can feel the aliveness in your hands. Very subtle at first, but there it is.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a Realtor can help answer. Because Realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what Realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
And then your attention could move to your feet at the same time as you still feel the aliveness in your hands. You could feel the aliveness in your feet simultaneously. And then you connect the rest of the body. You may not be able to feel all parts of the body as clearly as your hands, but it's fine. Your body, you begin to feel that your body is alive internally. And what you're feeling actually is already beyond the physical body. You're already feeling the energy, an energy field that's beyond the physical. And then that can become a great anchor for staying present. Doesn't matter for how long, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, even 1 minute is quite good. Feeling the inner body then takes attention away from useless thinking. And closely associated with the feeling of inner body is awareness of breath, awareness of your breathing. They are somehow connected. You can even bring them together so that you have awareness of the breath as it moves in and out of the body, and awareness of the inner body as a totality, a total energy field. So you're aware of the breathing and the energy in the inner body at the same time. It's a single thing. You're breathing, and make sure that you feel your breath going into the abdomen, that you feel it in there. That can be a great help. There's an energy field there that is helpful in when you feel the inner body. So you're breathing into the, without forcing anything, just normal breathing. And you follow the breath with your attention, and then you feel the breath moving into the abdomen. It doesn't actually, the air doesn't actually move into the abdomen, but energy does, as you feel if you follow the breath. And then you can very quickly come to a point where you feel very much alive and quite peaceful, whereas 3 minutes before, you were anxious and burdened with negative thoughts and a lot of mental clutter. Then you've shifted your attention into the inner body and the breathing, and you feel suddenly intensely alive, and it's beautiful. This is a moment also, it's not just presence. Yes, it's presence, but presence is also self-transcendence. You've transcended the little personal me, and you can see you're connecting with a deeper energy field, which is consciousness. It's a portal into the unconditioned consciousness. It's a portal into that. So the inner body is a great anchor for presence. It's just a choice. I'm choosing to be present. If you don't have much time, even just taking one or two conscious breaths many times during the day can be a wonderful, very, very helpful mini meditation, so to speak. Just one conscious breath, which takes about, 20 seconds. Let's just do one conscious breath goes like this. In and out. One more time. In and out. Attention on your breath. One or two conscious breaths. Not difficult. Three might be even better. But even one is already a gain in consciousness, because it's arising of a little bit of spaciousness. To be aware of your breath, your attention needs to be there. It cannot be absorbed by thinking. This is what the secret of the Buddha, the Buddha recommended breath awareness as the most important, the most powerful meditation, just breath awareness. Anapanasati yoga is the term. It's awareness of the ingoing and outgoing breath. And the Buddha didn't say, stop thinking. That's difficult for most people, if not impossible, to go there directly. But he said, be aware of your breath. And then, of course, people realized when they're aware of their breath, they're not thinking. You can either think or you can be aware of your breathing, but no, not both. So a very clever way of stopping people's minds was to say, be aware of your breathing. Oh, so you're inviting moments of presence or awareness into your life. And so you need something like inner body or and or breath to take your attention away from your consciousness, away from mind activity. One other thing that I often recommend when you choose awareness is to simply choose to be present with your sense perceptions. So that you awaken to your sense perceptions, which then become more acute. You can focus on one sense perception, like visual or auditory, or even tactile, or even taste. But the predominant sense perceptions are, for most humans, are the visual and the auditory. So you can focus on sense perception and be very conscious. Like, let's say there are certain noises that you can hear outside. If they're natural, they're more helpful than man-made noises, but other noises can also work. So you notice a noise and you continue to be very alert and just continue listening, one could say. You listen. Oh. And when you really listen, you're not thinking. You have to give your complete attention to the listening. That's another way of stepping out of the clutter of your mind and inviting awareness or presence into your life. You have to, when you really listen, there needs to be an alertness behind, and that alertness is consciousness itself, the attention behind the listening, the alertness behind the listening. Same thing with the visual. You can look at either one particular object or a flower or a tree or a leaf or whatever it may be. Or you can take in the totality of a landscape. If you're somewhere and there's a landscape and you take in the totality, that's another way of, and you perceive in that state of alert attention, pure perception without labeling it. And if a label should arise in your mind, you let it go immediately. If thoughts come and interpret what you're seeing or what you're hearing, you let it go. Another way is very helpful when you listen, instead of listening. This is particularly helpful when you have a repetitive noise, for example, bird song, for example, or some other maybe animal noise or some, or maybe just noise of the rustling of leaves in the wind or something like that. Or you listen to the noise and then you listen to the silent spaces in between the noises. That's a very powerful thing. If you listen to the silent spaces in between the noise. Certain types of music are very conducive to that. I recommend the Japanese bamboo flute, which is called shakuhachi. Shakuhachi is a simple bamboo with low holes in it. And the great masters of the shakuhachi flute play extremely meditative music. And when you listen to it, the secret is to pay, one could say almost, to pay more attention to the silent spaces between the sounds than to the sounds. And that's a very powerful thing. So listening to a noise is great, it's helpful already, but if you're able to listen to silence, that is the most wonderful meditation. Now, what does it mean to listen to silence? Let's say you're in a silent room and there's no noise whatsoever. It could happen at night, perhaps, when you're surrounded by silence and you listen. What do you listen to? When I say listen to the silence, what does that mean? If there's nothing to listen to, does it even have any meaning when I say listen to the silence? Well, you are listening, but there's nothing there. This can also be helpful when, if you have a, I don't have a bell here. When you have a bell that it rings or a gong that goes, you sound the gong, it goes, or whatever, boom, and then the sound gradually subsides less and you listen very carefully. And then the moment comes when the sound is gone, but you continue to listen. What are you listening to? Nothing. And that's the secret. Because when there's nothing there to listen to, what arises is the consciousness without an object, pure consciousness. There's no object in the listening anymore. So it's not, I sometimes use the expression object consciousness and space consciousness. Object consciousness is to be conscious of something. You're conscious of something that you perceive or with your senses, or you're conscious of a thought, or you're conscious of an emotion. That's all object consciousness, conscious of something. And again, for most people, that's all they know. But space consciousness is to be conscious of consciousness itself, to be conscious that you're conscious, to be aware that you're aware, awareness of awareness, conscious of being conscious. That is space consciousness. So when you listen to the silence, immediately the mind is obviously completely still, and there's nothing there. And that is the arising of space consciousness, which is unconditioned consciousness, stillness. If you haven't read, there's a little book that many people, advanced practitioners of presence, find helpful. The little book I wrote, Stillness Speaks. And that is a book for meditative reading. You just read one page or half a page and then just become still. And it just takes you into presence. It doesn't have much to feed your mind, just little mini meditations to take you into presence. Stillness Speaks. Of course, it doesn't say anything. So inviting awareness. When it happens spontaneously, it's wonderful, but it's not enough. No, when you've had a taste of presence or awareness, then you're able to also invite it into your life. And then that speeds up the awakening process. Don't beat yourself up when you lose it. That's fine, because the moment you regain it, it's a gain in consciousness. Don't fall into the trap of believing your egoic mind when it judges you for having lost it. Because the moment that you lost it, you have it again. Because if you're really lost, you don't know you're lost. The people who are really lost have no idea that they are lost. But if you know that you're lost, there's a knowing there that's not part of the state of being lost. It's the same way of being, let's say somebody's crazy or insane. If you know that you're insane, you're not completely insane, because there is a knowing there. The people who are really insane, they're so absorbed in their condition, they don't know it. And of course, they believe they're not insane at all. So that knowing is the awakened part of you that knows, suddenly it knows that you've been trapped in mental clutter for the past 2 hours. And suddenly you know, that's the arising of knowing. So it's a wonderful thing. There's no need to condemn yourself for not having been present. Because when you notice that you're present, you're there. Oh, or at least the possibility of choosing presence is there.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know. Refill? Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
It's one thing falling in love with a house, picturing yourself moving in and calling it home, and quite another navigating the world of price negotiating, mortgage lenders, and finding the budget that works best for you. An agent who's a realtor can make understanding that world easier. Realtors have the expertise, access to proprietary data, and tools to help you get from imagining living somewhere to actually doing it. That's the kind of help we can provide. Because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
It's possible that you notice that you're not present for 2 seconds, and then immediately you fall back into being absorbed by the thinking mind. But the noticing of being present brings in the element of choice. The element of choice is to say, I choose presence now for the next 2 minutes, or whatever it may be, I choose presence. The element of choice is absent when you are totally at the mercy of your mind. There is no choice. Choice implies awareness, and then you can choose to be present. That's how it works. So I hope that answers your question. Thank you.
Hello. Hi, Eckhart. Thank you for taking my question. And my question is basically, is the energy body also associated with sexual energy? And I'm also wondering if then sexual energy, is it also part of the spiritual energy, or is it another ego identification?
Right. Thank you. Thank you. Ultimately, there's only one energy. There's only one energy. The energy manifests in different vibrational frequencies. So one could say to the ultimate truth is there's only one consciousness, that is the everything that arises in this world is a manifestation of the one underlying consciousness that emanates from the source of all life. And if God means anything, that's what God is. God is that which the unnameable, unknowable source of all life that is beyond space and time, from which consciousness emanates just as light emanates from the sun. So the emanation, the consciousness that you are, is an emanation of source. You are an emanation of God, so to speak, every human. And when you notice that in yourself, then you become conscious of your connectedness with source. And that is the purpose of human life, to realize that connectedness with source. And that which emanates, the consciousness manifests through human beings in different ways. It can manifest at different vibrational frequencies as physical energy at certain frequency, sexual energy, another frequency, emotional energy, mind energy, thought energy, all manifestations of the same different frequency, in the same way that in the external world, where you have objects, one could say that when you have inanimate objects like stones and minerals, because they say that before there were any plants on the planet, or let alone animals, there was just stones, minerals. And a mineral, a stone, is also consciousness at a very low vibrational frequency. It's extreme, just so low you can't even, it has a stone has a billionth of the consciousness that you have. 1 billionth. It is, one could say, the material world is frozen consciousness, to use an analogy from water. Frozen consciousness is the mineral realm. That is a low vibrational frequency, and a stone, of course, has a very long lifespan. It can go on for a million years and longer. Then consciousness in plant life suddenly arises, and that is a higher vibrational frequency of consciousness beginning to happen on the planet. First, tiny life forms, or in the ocean, they arise. Tiny life forms arise. So there's an ancient saying, I can't remember where it comes from. It says consciousness is asleep in the mineral. Consciousness is dreaming in the plant, in the flower, in the tree, in vegetable life. Consciousness is dreaming there. And then we have another vibrational frequency of consciousness. And there's not a clear dividing line between the realms, because there are some life forms where you can't say, does it belong to the vegetative realm or is it animal realm? We don't know, it's in between. But then the animal realm again is a different vibrational frequency of consciousness. And there we could say consciousness begins to awaken in the animal. So it's asleep in the stone, it's dreaming in plants. It begins to awaken, but it's still in part dreaming in the animal. But the first glimpses of awakening of consciousness, and then there comes humans. They are called also out of the animal realm have come the human realm. And the human is potentially the realm where consciousness awakens to itself. That is the destiny of the human realm. And that would be the high frequency of consciousness. When you feel you have physical, you yourself embody many different frequencies of consciousness. You embody the physical, you embody the sexual, which is connected to the physical, but it's also connected to the emotional. And it's also connected to the mental in humans. The sexual is, again, is connected to ego in many cases in human beings. So whatever you identify with becomes part of your ego. If you identify with your physical energy, it becomes part of your egoic self. If you identify with your sexual energy, that becomes part of your egoic self and can become very problematic for humans, because the moment you identify with something, if you identify with sexual energy becomes part of your, the whole structure of your ego, which is very problematic. And that immediately sex becomes a big problem for you. And so the you identify with it. Many humans have a problem with their body because they identify with body and there's something wrong with it. It's not good enough. Or if it is good enough, in some cases, if you're lucky, your body is better looking than most other people's body. And then that becomes a big problem because then most of your ego is identified with physical appearance, which leads to great suffering later in life because your physical appearance is no longer satisfying after a while, and then you become very unhappy. So whatever you identify with becomes problematic. If you can allow it to be there without ego demanding ego satisfaction from something, then it's fine. It's relatively unproblematic. No matter where you look, that it will apply. But yes, whatever you identify with becomes part of your ego. It can even happen when you, as you become more spiritually aware, and again, we have a higher frequency of consciousness. Let's say stillness arises more often, you become aware more often, and you realize that many humans are still very, very unconscious, which is a fact. But then again, the trap is that you identify with the arising awareness and you say that's part of who you are, superior to other humans because you're more present. That's in other words, the ego can come back through the back door, as I call it. The ego comes in through the back door and claims some kind of achievement because you're more present than other humans and says, I did that. And then that will obscure the arising presence again. The ego will claim some kind of achievement. I did that. So ego identification can still happen at the higher vibrational frequencies, so you have to be very careful with spiritual ego also. So it can come in at many, many levels. So all we need to then realize is not to derive our sense of self from any kind of form, whether it's a physical form, it's a physical body, whether it's an emotional form or mental form, whatever it may be, not to identify with it, because identify means if you identify with something, something gives you your sense of self. You derive your sense of who you are from that which you identify with. And it's always ultimately an illusion. You can, let's just say, to some extent, yes, you will have a little bit of identification with things. That's perhaps inevitable. You identify a little bit with your body, perhaps a little bit with this, a little bit with that, but it's never very much, because there's something much more vital than you, than anything in form, which is the consciousness that you are, that is timeless. But you can't compare it to somebody else's consciousness. It's my consciousness is better than yours, because there's only one consciousness. And every human is a manifestation of the one consciousness, except they may not know it, but they are also a manifestation of the one consciousness, a ray of this one consciousness, even if they don't know it. And this is a wonderful thing when you go beyond ego, because ego always moves in the opposites of inferiority and superiority. When your identity is ego-based, you will always either feel inferior to some people and superior to others. And the ego continuously fears inferiority and wants to counteract inferiority, but it's seeking superiority. So there's this comparative thing that operates continuously in the egoic sense of self. You compare yourself to others and you need to be, you're afraid of being inferior, and often you find that you are inferior and that feels very bad. And then the ego tries to compensate with something else. By, for example, by diminishing somebody else's achievements, because if somebody else's achievement makes you feel inferior, all the ego can do is diminish verbally their achievements in order to make itself feel better. Or you have somebody's body is better than yours, and then you can make comments about how obsessed these people is, their body, so it's such a primitive way of living. And again, it's a judgment, and it's satisfying to the ego, but it doesn't really help you in any way except get more trapped in ego. Ego is a constant source of amusing. When there's awareness, ego becomes amusing, what it does, how it tries to continuously defend itself and strengthen itself. So many examples one could give. So whatever you identify with, it means you've identified with an illusion. There's a saying in this little, the book A Course in Miracles, which is an interesting book, not for everybody, but for some people it's good. It says, because one of the big things for ego is defensiveness. The ego becomes very defensive. It's always afraid of being diminished. And so a quote from A Course in Miracles is, whenever you become defensive about anything, know that you have identified yourself with an illusion. Whenever you become defensive about anything, know that you have identified yourself with an illusion. Because, you only become defensive about something that has some kind of form that you identify with, that is not who you are, ever. So defensiveness is a good way of also noticing in oneself, if it's still there in you from time to time, become aware of it. Whatever you become aware of, whenever you become aware of any manifestation of ego in you, it's a wonderful thing. You don't have to beat yourself up and say, oh, I still have this ego. No, to be aware of ego is already means you already have one foot out of ego. When you're aware of your ego, you're no longer totally in the grip of your ego. Only people who are totally in the grip of their ego have zero awareness of their ego. They are the ego. So you're already half free when you recognize your ego and you can observe it. Sometimes you can only observe it retrospectively. Perhaps it just played out its act for several hours, and then you get home and say, oh, you go back and retrospectively come, no, that was my ego. That's fine, at least now you know. Whether you are in the middle of it or retrospectively, if you're aware of ego, you're not totally in the grip of it anymore. And that's the good news. So, great. Thank you. Perhaps a moment of stillness. Stillness is not something that, or meditation, it's not something that you do, by the way. It's not, now we're doing stillness. It's just something that you notice. It's already here. Nothing to achieve, just what is. Perhaps you become aware of your breathing, or perhaps your mind just simply stops for a while. Thank you.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to Eckhart Tolle, Essential Teachings, the podcast. You can follow these essential teachings on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you haven't yet, go to Spotify and follow this podcast. Join us next week for more enlightened teachings from Eckhart Tolle. Thank you for listening.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know.
Refill?
Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
There are any number of reasons you might consider selling your home. To move closer to family, live within a smaller budget, or just wanting a change of scenery. Whatever your reasons, having to figure out all the various housing market trends in your area may not be what you signed up for. That's where an agent who is a Realtor comes in. Realtors have the expertise to help you find the right price and navigate the process to sell your home in a way that's right for you. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.